I'm a panelist on a few online events each month. The links for MeWe Online Fairs and Winnie's Angels are going to be in the description box. At these events, people frequently ask about relationships, what we see for them, and when they can expect to be in one. You know, stuff like, when will I meet my soulmate? Or, I know that person is my twin flame. All sorts of questions about their relationships in this life. It's understandable, since relationships of all kinds are an integral part of the physical experience. I hear those phrases so frequently, but then I realize I don't know exactly what those mean. And welcome to this week's rabbit hole on Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel, healer, guide. You can find me at BlueLightningHealing.com, or you can contact me at Susie, that's S-U-S-Y, at BlueLightningHealing.com, whether you want to schedule an appointment, ask a question, or connect. I upload weekly about metaphysical topics that intrigue me, and meditations are a part of the package. So please like, comment, subscribe, favorite, hit the donate button, support me however you can. Share the podcast, share the love. Thanks. The phrases soulmates and twin flames are bandied about regularly, and I realized I don't really know what they mean. You're welcome to come along with me and learn, and then Monday we'll do a meditation about it. Yeah, right now I haven't a clue what that focus will be, but I'm sure we'll have a better idea in place by the end. I was amazed at the amount of content out there about relationships. I don't know why I would be surprised. I know the magazines I read had at least one article about what to do to be more attractive, how to please your partner, and all that stuff. I get it. As I stated in the introduction, relationships are an integral part of the human experience. We sign on to experience life as a physical being each time we incarnate on Earth, and relationships play a big role. From family to friends, life partners, even strangers or those people you don't connect with, it's all a part of the relationship paradigm. And for the sake of this episode, I am not referring to abusive relationships in which one is forced to stay or has a really hard time leaving. What we're focused on here is what I would call a regular relationship. Okay, so soulmates, twin flames. What are they? The concept of twin flames and soulmates can be found in ancient Greek literature. Of course. The philosopher Plato didn't believe in soulmates. He recounts a story by Aristophanes, the playwright, in which humans have four arms and four legs, one head. And Zeus comes along and slices them all in half, making two halves of a whole. It's a punishment for human pride. Zeus believes humans would then wander about in search of their other half and spend their lives in despair and loneliness until they find their other half and live and love and dance into the sunset. Yeah, we'll talk about my attitudes about Zeus later. Next up, Aristotle. He wrote that love is composed of one body inhabiting two bodies. Then there's the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge. In a letter dated 1822, he wrote, "To be happy in a married life, you must have a soulmate." He didn't really define it. He just said it. And then in the 80s, Elizabeth Clare Prophet spent a lot of time talking about what she referred to as twin flames. But based on what I'm reading and am learning about it, it seems she was talking more about soulmates and sacred relationships than twin flames. And then even sacred texts bring up the topic or concept of a sacred relationship. Creation myths abound with references to a whole being rent asunder into heaven and earth. See, there's that two halves of a whole. That means the Christian Bible. The universe is split by God, Adam and Eve, all that. In Chinese lore, the yin-yang symbol is representative of a whole being cut into halves. Sumerian mythology brings in the god and goddess split. Shiva and Parvati in Hindu lore. Jewish tradition speaks of two halves being reunited in marriage. The Quran, the Gospels of Matthew and Thomas, they reference two halves being reunited into a whole. They usually use a masculine-feminine paradigm. And even in the 20th century, our sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce refers to the soul as being androgynous, and then when a soul incarnates, it splits into two parts, masculine and feminine, and then they seek each other out. So on to definitions. The short answer is first, a soulmate is part of your soul family. Twin flames are mirrors or your other half. Let's get into details. Aaron Doty on YouTube has a lovely diagram in which he lays it out as levels or layers of energy. Source, energy, oversoul, higher selves, incarnations. At the top level, we all come from source, divine, God, love, call it what you will. And then there's the oversoul, which is an underlayer of source. The higher selves are aspects of the oversoul, and then incarnations are attached to or share a higher self. Doty goes on to explain that soulmates come from different higher selves, while twin flames come from the same higher self. Alternatively, you can see soulmates as being part of your soul family, that group of souls who hang out together through numerous lifetimes, to work through a variety of lessons as a team, you could say. You may know a soulmate as a physical family member, a friend, or a partner. A twin flame, on the other hand, is a part of the same higher self, a clone, a mirror. The energy signature is exactly the same. You know, the Zeus splitting souls in half action. A soulmate, being a part of a greater unit of soul family, means you can have more than one soulmate in a lifetime. However, a twin flame, being half of an aspect of a soul, means that there is only one twin flame for you in any given lifetime. Okay so far? Cool. A lot of the general characteristics are similar. It's the deep dive where the differences come to light. I have found that members of a soul family return in some form or another to continue work on a soul purpose. Past life readings can help you identify not only the lesson, but who in that life is part of your soul family. I once encountered a cluster of people who, upon looking energetically at them, I found that they had been exploring the relationship lesson for at least one other lifetime that I could see, probably more. In each, the identity expressions and roles changed as needed. One was an outsider in one lifetime. The others were partnered. One could play the field. It was an interesting and informative reading. In my experience, I know that the light being, who is currently known as my husband, has shared many lifetimes with me. We have been brothers, friends, same-sex partners, parent and child, and more. And I've shared other lifetimes with my current family also. I saw a French Revolution lifetime in which my husband was my husband then. My oldest sister was an aristocrat, and my dad was a working-class peasant, same as I was. Okay, so what about those outside of your blood relations? The people with whom you have an immediate connection, someone who understands you right off the bat, you have a feeling of shared experience, those would be soulmates. And even strangers. I mean, why not? Maybe you two agreed to pass on a direct relationship in this lifetime. You'll have other opportunities later. Then, a twin flame can be anyone also. Whether they're a blood related or not, they share your energy. They are a clone, if you will, a mirror. They have your energy signature. What about attraction? Both soulmates and twin flames experience a strong attraction. It doesn't mean that either have to be physically consummated, though, but sometimes it's easier said than done. And truly, free will is always at play. You can say yes or no. It's a strong sense of knowing that pulls you together. And depending on the life lesson you two have agreed upon, it could be a great relationship or not. So while there can be a physical attraction, twin flames may experience a more intense attraction. Again, you still have free will as to whether or not you decide to become more intimate. But a twin flame's attraction is far stronger than a soulmate's. Soulmates can be life partners. Twin flames can too. Either way, to expect a soulmate or twin flame relationship to be easy is to underestimate the impact that soul lessons have. It's also denying the fact that even non-karmic relationships require effort to maintain. You know, not only love and that first-time spark. Relationships require attention, healthy communication, and being in the moment. Both kinds of relationships face challenges. Hell, any relationship has its challenges. It's naive to think that it's all sunshine and roses when you have a soulmate or twin flame engaging in life together. Honestly, if partners agree all the time, someone is hiding their light. Now, I'm not saying it should be a constant fight either. Two people cannot be expected to be completely simpatico or in utter alignment all the time. And that's where healthy and open communication comes in handy. Yeah, we're getting close to relationship advice here, and I'll hold that on till later. Both types of relationships ask you to be better, to grow. I see a lot more support as a soulmate because you're not so caught up in the massive intensity of twin flame energy, you know, being rejoined to the other half again, to your other half again thing. Twin flames have relationships in which the ego can be destroyed, utterly wiped out, bringing up deep-seated issues that can tear you apart. But with attention and compassion, it can rebuild you into a tremendously healed and better person. Twin flames also mirror your strengths, your weaknesses, your triggers, your coping behaviors, and that can bring about healing or a toxic environment. Now, if the twins are committed, really committed to doing this deep work and can come out of the realm of toxicity, excellent. You can say hello to the next power couple, but you got to pay attention. Soulmate relationships are focused on personal spiritual growth, and twin flames have a broader goal in raising the vibration of the environment of the planet. In both cases, the pain of growth can make or break the relationship. Challenges in life are for growth. My cancer experience, yeah, I'm bringing that up again. My cancer experience was, to say the least, a bugger. But we, as a family, were open, did our best to communicate, gave each other space to process, and I think we're stronger as a result. Soulmates don't share energy. They may have a similar frequency or vibration, but they are not exactly the same. Twin flames have a polarity. I read a lot about the divine masculine and feminine in twin flames, and I got hung up in the three-dimensional thinking. What about same-sex relationships? I asked. And then I took a step back and took a moment to examine it from an energetic standpoint. Walk with me here. I believe the divine, universe, or love is unlimited, vast, not to be put into a teeny tiny box. God, if you will, is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-loving. Why would Source put a limit on an existence's expression? Twin flames can take on any physical form depending on the soul agreement. Whether they choose to be a masculine-masculine, a feminine-feminine, a masculine-feminine, or a feminine-masculine, it doesn't matter what the physical packaging is. It's the energy that's the point. We are beings of light, a part of Source, and our infinite existence can embody any and all variations. Honestly, it took me longer than I would have liked to understand that point. Anyone can be a soulmate or a twin flame, but there cannot be both in a single body. It just doesn't work that way. So how do you know if someone is a soulmate or a twin flame? Well, both have a strong attraction, a sense of knowing someone right off, a complete acceptance of who they are and of who you are, a commitment to growth. Both kinds feel like destiny. Soulmates can be similar, but can be different, but the connection is there. Twin flames are similar, like the halves joining of a whole. Twin flames can share dreams, thoughts, interests. They are your twin, you know. And I think that's it for the energy portion of the talk. I do want to list off some examples, some real life examples of soulmates. I mean, we're looking at relationships that seem divinely timed to have an impact. So first off, look at John Lennon and Yoko Ono, or, well, Ringo and Paul, too, of the Beatles. What about Alice B. Toklas and Gertrude Stein? They met the day Alice arrived in Paris, moved in together immediately and were together until death. It doesn't seem to be a drama-filled relationship, but their home was a center for the intelligentsia to gather and expand and talk. They seemed like best friends from the start. What about Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka? They fit together so well. There's Johnny Cash and June Carter. That was a divinely timed meeting. It took a while for them to get together as both were married to other people. He persisted. She stayed calm during his rough years. It all balanced out. And then Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. They joined together for the benefit of people of color everywhere. They got through a lot, even FBI smear campaigns. What about real-life twin flames? How about Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen, or Sid and Nancy as the movie goes? They were a 1970s punk rock couple. I think they were twin flames because they used heroin addiction to cope. It was such a bombastic relationship. There's also Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. That was a very volatile relationship, but they couldn't stay away from each other. As far as a spiritual upgrade, these two relationships would be an example of the partners not really recovering from the ego destruction. Then there's Antony and Cleopatra, the political intrigue and history-making. On the surface, it was an unusual coupling, but their historic impact was far-reaching. And then there's Percy Bysshe Shelley and Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley. He was a poet. She was a writer. There was a major age difference. And while she's best known for Frankenstein, a book written on a bet, she also wrote treatises on about women's voting rights. What about Yeshua, or Jesus, and Mary Magdalene? I mean, think about it. They are the ultimate power couple. He's divine masculine, she's divine feminine. The relationship was hidden by others because nobody wanted to say that they were intimate. He had an ugly death, she had to hide in a convent, and yet there is the historical and spiritual growth from which we have all benefited. Fictional soulmates would be like Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy. There was a strong attraction, and once ego on the part of both got out of the way, they became a solid couple. There was growth for both of them. Arthur and Guinevere, they were destined to be together. On the other side of it, Guinevere and Lancelot, they were also destined to be together. That's an example of having more than one soulmate in a single lifetime. Fictional twin flames would be like Romeo and Juliet. Oh, such drama in that relationship. And then the movie Harold and Maude. There was this incredible age difference. It was platonic and yet life-changing. They are an example of how twin flames can be positive. All right. So what are ways you can draw your soulmate or twin flame to yourself? As I researched, I found that a lot of the information I give in readings is the same as what I found here. So first off, be in love with yourself. Sacred relationships can lead you to heal from past patterns, true. But to expect another to fix you or to complete you or for you to fix somebody else, it all denies the opportunities that you have to heal yourself, to love yourself. So, love yourself. That shifts your energy to a higher vibration and will draw another of a higher or similar vibration to you. Kind of related to that thought is that understanding you are already complete. You are already whole. That reduces that externalizing the love relationship. And I can't say it enough. Love yourself. Be happy with yourself. Continue to work on yourself. Because loading an expectation on another to complete you turns into what feels to me like a codependent relationship. And that's not a good thing. Next, a way to love yourself is to do what ignites your passion. Do what you love. When you're focused on doing something you love, it not only takes you out of that, are we there yet? Or the constant, are you the one energy? It raises your vibration. When you focus on what you love to do, love will follow. Look at the soulmate couples listed. They found each other while they were living their passion, whether it was politics, literature, music, etc. But also, be present to notice the mate. stay in the time stream, and yet still focus on your passion. It's not a delicate balance. With your focus on your passion, you will draw a proper mate for you, but be open to the possibilities. Look, love is not always easy. A love relationship is healing, and healing is not always easy. It can be uncomfortable, even painful. Say you're in a relationship with someone who allows you the space to bring up past patterns, past painful patterns. Then they have the grace to let you heal those outdated patterns. It can take work, but that's not a bad thing. Sure, people want a relationship that seems so easy, but what you see is a superficial snapshot of any relationship. You don't see the whole journey. Have you heard of the metaphor about the duck placidly cruising across a lake? It seems so calm and at ease on the surface. What you don't see is that it is paddling like crazy beneath the surface. Relationships can have those moments. Sure, you meet, you connect, you fall in love. Then the work begins. Some people give up at the least bit of difficulties. Others tough it out. You have a choice in your relationships. Choose love when it best serves you and your partner. And that's going to be often, more often than not. As Aaron Doty said, we don't attract what we want. We attract who we are. Until next time, blessings. Last time I talked about what soulmates and twin flames are, you know, sacred relationships. Oh, wait, I didn't define what a sacred relationship is. Sorry about that. Let's do that. According to Mind Body Green, a sacred relationship is one in which we are inspired to see the divine in another person, to experience oneness through the union of two. Well, when you look at it that way, isn't every relationship sacred? That's the goal, isn't it? To see the divine in another? That's what the word namaste is all about. When you look at your beloved, your best friend, even the cashier at the store, you're seeking the divine in them, aren't you? And that's where the connection happens. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel, a healer, a guide. I upload weekly about metaphysical topics that I'm interested in, and Monday there's a related meditation. Please like, comment, favorite, subscribe, support with any of these donate buttons, share with your friends, and share the love. Thank you. Today's meditation will focus on identifying soulmates and twin flames from past lives. We'll be using the Buckyball vehicle for you to connect with whatever lifetimes are relevant to you today. Lifetimes which are having an impact on you in the now with regard to soulmates and soul family and twin flames. Remember, you are safe. The buckyball assures you will observe only, not re-experience any trauma that may have been connected to those lives. The buckyball protects you so that you may relax into the meditation without having to be overly watchful. You are in complete control of this meditation. If you feel uncomfortable physically and need to adjust your body position, that's perfectly okay. You can do so without disrupting the meditation in any way. You will remember any information you receive from this meditation. However, if you feel uncomfortable with any of that information you receive, you can leave it behind without any negative after effects. Finally, please remember you are loved. Divinely and unconditionally loved. Let's begin. Breathe. Allow yourself time without distraction. Please don't listen to this while you're driving. Assure that you will not have any interruptions, just for a short while. Breathe in love. Breathe out your to-do list. Breathe in love. And breathe out that to-do list. You can let it go for now. Now breathe in love. And breathe out that outside of yourself noise. As you breathe, it fades to a whisper. As you breathe, it quiets completely. Good. Adjust your body to be even more comfortable. There. Breathe in love. Breathe out love. Breathe in love. Breathe out love. Breathe in love. Breathe out self-love. You can do it. Try it again. Breathe in love. Breathe out self-love. Good. As your body relaxes deeper and deeper, you find yourself in that amazing buckyball of divine healing. It holds you in sacred space, complete with divine love and healing. You are transported out into the universe, alone and yet not alone. You feel the love of the universe all around you, holding you gently, loving you gently. Good. As you travel through the universe in your protective buckyball, you find around you points of light. They represent a variety of lifetimes in which you know you shared with soulmates and twin flames, those beings who share your soul purpose of spiritual growth, those who share some of your spiritual DNA, if you will. Set your focus on one of those points of light. Bring it closer to you. Pull it into focus. See it as a line of the events of that life, stretching out in front of you. What do you see? Focus on the you in that lifetime. Who were you? Your gender? Your name? What did you do in that lifetime? Were you even human? There is no limitation to your soul's expression, you know. As you focus on this lifetime, you find a recognizable soul being. Who are they? Who were they to you in that lifetime? What purpose did they share with you? Do you see them as a soulmate? One of your soul family? Or were they a twin flame? An exact mirror of you. Examine the circumstances around that relationship. Were you friends? Lovers? Family? How did that relationship play out? What was the soul lesson? Do you see it as having been resolved? Do you recognize that relationship's energy signature in any of your current life relationships? Who would they be now? Anyone you know? Or have known? Or will know? Give yourself a moment to gather the information you need from that relationship, from that lifetime. Good. When you have all the information you need, pull your focus back to you and your buckyball. Take a moment to examine the relationships in your current lifetime. Do any of them seem more familiar than others? In what way? Is it an old knowing? A knowing that goes beyond this lifetime? A soul level knowing? What's the soul learning then? Acknowledge these beings who have shared lifetimes with you. Acknowledge and thank them. And you and your buckyball, make your way back to your body. Yes, you will be refreshed and re-energized after this meditation. You and your buckyball settle gently back into your reality. This current reality. And you breathe. Breathe yourself back into your body, your divinely perfect body. Breathe yourself back into your feet and hands. See, you can move them, rotate them about. Now breathe yourself back into your legs and arms, and they extend and stretch. Breathe yourself back into your torso. Oh, that stretch feels great, doesn't it? Now you breathe yourself back into your neck and head. Your neck is relaxed and flexible. Your head is so much clearer. And when you are ready, open your eyes. Make notes about what you learned during this meditation. Refer to those notes in a few days. Think about what you've learned about those in your life today. And see the sacred relationships all around you. The people who help you with your soul's growth. And the people you help along the way. And of course, drink the water. Eat the supporty kind of snacks. Be kind to yourself and others. Until next time. Blessings. So here we are with 20-25 minutes left in my slot. So what I've decided to do is to re-record one of my previous meditations. And it's one about meeting your ideal self. I figured it was appropriate considering this was the soulmate twin flame episode. Because when you are your ideal self, then you're going to draw that soulmate, that twin flame, that sacred relationship to you. So, yeah, here we go. Thanks. Get comfortable. Allow yourself some time to experience and breathe. Breathe Mother Earth up into your feet, her warming and relaxing energy breaking through blockages in your feet, in your ankles, up into your lower legs, your knees. She makes her way up through your upper legs, relaxing the quads, soothing the hamstrings, and into your hips, soothing them and aligning them. Your legs and hips work together to help you maintain balance and mobility. Feel any pain released, if only in this moment. Mother Earth moves up into your digestive tract and your kidneys, releasing self-doubt and fear, allowing you to relax more deeply. She works her way up your spine into your stomach, calming it, releasing stress, into your lungs as the liver releases old anger, soothing the gallbladder, the pancreas, and the spleen. Your lungs open up to receive more and are able to work more efficiently. Oh, and there she is. Mother Earth finds her way into your heart. It's very comfortable, she says. Thank you for asking her in. Mother Earth moves up to your shoulders. My, but you take on more than you need to, she says. Allow her to dust off some of those responsibilities that, frankly, are not your problem. Good. Feel your shoulders relax as she flows down your arms, into your hands, activating the chakras in the palms of your hands and your fingers. Good. Feel the healing energy flow out. She moves up your neck, soothing the throat chakra, allowing you to rebalance and open it so that you may speak your truth. Mother Earth works her way up into your jaw, allowing it to relax. Good. Your sinus is clear. Your ears open. The pressure of emotions from all around is released from behind your eyes. She moves up to your brain, and it is soothed and quieted. She continues through to your crown chakra to join up with divine. And breathe. Divine comes through your crown chakra, complimenting your brain on how well organized and calm it is, soothing your forehead, your eyes so clear, your hearing so precise, your mouth and jaw, ready to form words of love and truth. Well done. Divine moves down your throat, furthering the clearing and balancing, complimenting you on such strong shoulders you have to carry responsibilities that are yours alone, reminding you there is help as Divine reaches your arms, moves down them to join with Mother Earth in your chakras, in your palms, and your fingers. They let you know that all the things you do with your hands is blessed. All of the things you do with your brain is blessed. Divine joins with Mother Earth in your heart, swirling about like the yin-yang symbol, like koi in a pond, dancing around in harmony, peace, union. Divine comes into your lungs, clearing. Good. Down your spine, into your stomach, your digestive tract, into your hips, balanced, mobile, your legs. Divine comments on how strong they are, how they hold you up and uplift you even in the hardest of times. Divine flows down to your ankles and your feet and into Mother Earth, both energies flowing through you at the same time. And breathe. Breathe in love. And breathe out self-judgment. Breathe in love and breathe out your to-do list. Breathe in love. Breathe out self-judgment. Breathe in love. Breathe out other people's expectations. Breathe in love. Breathe out anxiety, if only in this moment. Breathe in love. Breathe out anxiety. Try it again, to breathe in love and breathe out anxiety. Good. Breathe in love and breathe out calm. Breathe in love. Breathe out calm. Breathe in love. Breathe out love. As you continue to breathe deeply, you relax and settle in even more. Remember, you are in control. You can leave this meditation for any reason, at any time. Noises outside help to calm you and help you relax further. Breathe. You find yourself in your sacred space, a place in which you are comfortable, safe, and protected. It has everything you need to feel loved and protected. Take a moment to check out your surroundings. Are you in a room? Maybe a cave? A temple? Inside or outside? What is your ideal sacred space? For that is where you find yourself. And in this sacred space, you feel completely at ease. You are protected. You are open to receive the information to come to you. And you breathe. You relax. You see before you one of your spirit guides. The energy coming off of them is loving, nurturing, and divine. Take a moment to experience their love, to experience their complete, non-judgmental love for you. You know they are there to assure you that you meet the divine ideal. You hold each other's gaze steadily, unflinchingly, with complete acceptance. You are safe. You are loved. You ask them to show you your ideal self. They smile and hold up a mirror to you. You are perfect, they say. You are ideal. What makes me ideal, you ask? I don't feel ideal. I'm not rich enough. I don't feel attractive enough. How do you define ideal? Your guides look at you with such love and wisdom. You are perfect, they say. You are open to questioning your reality. You understand there are changes to be made. We feel you are harder on yourself than we think is necessary. For we see your divinity. We see your heart. And we love your soul. Your idea of what is ideal is based on your 3D existence, your physicality. Those are not our standards. We hold you to a higher standard that goes beyond how you look. Our ideal is how your heart is, how you love, that you love, that you care. Yes, change is needed. Yet you see where improvements can be made, and you set about to improve. You set about to improve not only yourself, but the world around you. It is all right that you do not have all the money in the world. It is all right that you cannot help everyone who asks. You have your love to share. You have your hope, your vision. Your divinity shines through in everything you do. We ask you to hold on to that thought, that your divinity is the ideal, that your love is ideal in however it manifests, that your intention to heal yourself and your planet is ideal. We ask you to release those old thought patterns that hold you back. Let go of those people who would hold you back through their thoughts and their deeds. We ask you to aspire to be your greatest self. It is possible. It is within your reach. Your ideal self is manifest even as we speak. We ask you to release doubt. Release your self-doubt and the doubt of those around you. Release your anger. Do not take on others' anger, for it does not serve you. Reclaim your energy from those who have angered you, and return their anger, their energy to them. Choose to walk through your life in peace and love. Choose to live your life in peace and love. Choose to be your life in peace and love. Now look into the mirror. Do you see yourself now? See the love light streaming from you. See the peace building in your heart. See your soul's highest purpose manifest. Accept the abundance we offer you. Accept that you are worthy of all abundance. And breathe. Breathe out doubt. And breathe in your divine worth. Breathe out other people's expectations and judgments, and accept your ideal self. We ask you to remember we are with you always. We are here to help you whenever you ask. Your guides give you an object to represent or symbolize their presence. It's a common enough object that you see in your everyday life. Take note of it. Remember what it is. And they tell you, you are loved. You are protected. We are with you. So breathe in love. And breathe out love. As you breathe, you accept and integrate their wisdom. You feel your energy clear of all that no longer serves you. You feel recharged, re-energized. You see your place in this world. You recognize your purpose in this world. And you breathe. Thank your guides. Send them love. And release them. If you wish, sit with yourself for a moment to re-acclimate to this new paradigm. Allow yourself to integrate their words and their love. And now it is time to breathe yourself back into your body. You have toes and fingers to wiggle, ankles and wrists to stretch and move. Check out those legs and arms that are extending. That torso can twist and stretch. And now your head, knowing it's so much clearer, moves so much more easily on your neck. As you return to your body, you bring with you your guide's wisdom and the memory of their symbol of their presence. Open your eyes when you're ready. How do you feel? Give yourself as much time as you need to integrate. Journal your experience. Drink water, have a snack. More than anything, be kind to yourself and to others. Until next time, blessings. Thank you again for joining me for another episode on Transformation Talk Radio. My name is Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing and Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My website is www.bluelightninghealing.com, and you can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, that's Susie at bluelightninghealing.com. Blessings.